And good afternoon, folks. My name's Craig, and this is the Over the Fence Show here on Regan Community Radio 98.1 FM. And also going over to Divi to our friends on 89.0 on Free FM, coming out of the Tron, going throughout the Waikato. And it's actually quite a nice day out there now. It's a bit of a stormy old night and morning, but it's coming right here. Must have blown over, whatever it was. And today on the show, our guest can't make it today, so I'm going to have a little bit of a talk about the rural health strategy, which came out in July this year, and just have a little run over that. And plus, we'll go through some headlines and weather, and I'll do a What's On God since Aaron wasn't here this morning as well, and bit of stuff like that. And we'll come back with the news after this one, though, and it's the Pop Art Toasters with Circles. Folks, that was the Pop Art Toasters there with Circles, and we're going to go some primary sector headlines now here on the Over the Fence Show. And dead hedgehogs have been found in a range of popular horse feed products from New Zealand, prompting Australian authorities and the manufacturer to issue an urgent recall. All imports of fibre fresh products have been suspended by the Department of Agriculture, Fisheries and Forestry, which has directed the importer Hygain to remove the products from sale and the supply chain. Customers are being told to stop using the product, to seal open bags and contact their retailer. Has raised concerns about the potential for contamination, but also future supply of the product. And this was discovered by West Australian resident Nicola Forsberg. Said she found a dead hedgehog instead of the usual fresh-cut lucerne when she reached into the bag of Fibre Fresh Fibre Protect while feeding her house horse Felix. Sorry. she goes, "I got a nice spiked hand that morning," she says. "I thought it was actually a Scotch thistle to start with. So that's not a good look for that horse feed supply company." And there is a banana shortage. Yes, there is. But no, New Zealand is bananas for bananas, but the country relies on imports from Mexico, Ecuador and the Philippines. And some fruit growers hope to change that by sowing the seeds of a homegrown industry. Aotearoa imports roughly 85,000 tonnes of bananas each and every year, according to the United Nations Food and Agriculture Organization, which is mostly a stable supply, but changes in the weather make it hard for exporters to keep up with the enormous demand. But Dole, New Zealand, the country's biggest supplier, gets its bananas from Ecuador and the Philippines. And said it had been a challenging season to get them from growers in both those countries. So, yes, some importers are only getting 70 to 80% of what they need. So, yeah, that's interesting. But we can grow bananas here in New Zealand, Aotearoa, and we certainly can grow them here in Whangaroa. I know that for a fact. So might just have to, grow our own. And environment watchdogs are sceptical on farming group's methane emissions claims. Yes. The Parliament's environment watchdog has taken an unusual step of writing to three farming groups, accusing them of wrongly claiming that they had new science on methane emissions. The Environment Commissioner, former National Party Cabinet Minister Simon Upton, also said the lobby groups have buried the most relevant conclusion of the research, a part which might have been seen as supporting stronger action on farm gases. Two of the groups have responded, saying that they think there might have been a misunderstanding. Dairy NZ Beef and Lamb and Federated Farmers made a joint submission to the Climate Change Commissioner on New Zealand's methane targets, which cover how much farms must reduce planet heating gases from burping cows and sheep, as well as escape landfill gases. So that's kind of an interesting one, that one. Unsurprising, because you can twist kind of science any way you like, right? So, yes, that is an interesting one. And an Auckland butchery has snagged the top spot at the Great New Zealand Sausage Competition with its Lamb Delight creation. Judges had to taste a record 646 sausages, but Sam's Butchery in Silverdale was crowned the overall winner at a gala dinner in Auckland last night. Well, earlier this week, I should say. Owner Sam Nettison said the secret of the winning entry was taking the time to get the basics right, concentrating on perfecting the flavours and years of experience. He says, "My grandson was born in last week too, and I think he's brought me good luck," he writes. Judge and food writer Kathy Patterson said there's quite a buzz around the judging table this year with some innovative flavour combinations, but it was a pure lamb sausage that took the top spot. So, yeah, good on you, Sam's butchery there and up Silverdale Ways. Best sausage, that's the story. And a educational charity is calling on the government to do more to help rural high school students succeed. Comes on the back of a recent release University of Auckland study, which found NCEA results and university entrance rates were about 15% lower for rural high school students, that probably should say, compared to their urban counterparts. Researchers said rural schools had greater proportions of Māori students from lower socioeconomic areas. Charity NetNZ helps rural schools shape resources through online learning with a pool of teachers across the country. Chief Executive Darren Sudlow said rural and area schools have been taking collaborative approaches to tackling isolation issues for years, and better technology has helped it to be a great success. The schools do pay for the not-for-profit service, but Sudlow says virtual learning networks should be brought into Ministry of Education budgets so they reach more schools and their students. And we'll finish this with this one here, which is... In the eyes of Dr. John, they call him, Kafir Dr. John Burden, he said a medical school, mindful of regional communities, was long overdue, and he hoped the new government would make things start to happen. In July, the National Party said it would put $300 million towards setting up a new school, and in March, the Waikato University's Vice-Chancellor Neil Quigley told National Health spokesperson Shane Retty that first student intake would be in 2027, so a few years off yet. Dr. John said in the early days when a medical school was talked about for the Waikato, he was not keen. But now there's a real influence on rural and regional communities, he was fully behind the long overdue idea. So there we are. That's some headlines, and we are going to be talking rural health a bit later in the show. But that's your headlines for now. I'll come back probably with some weather after this one by The Mannix, Design for Life. Mathematics there with a design for life. Now it's weather time here on the Over the Fence show, and yes, severe tropical cyclone Lola has been declared as category 4 this morning, and it's hovering over Vanuatu. However, New Zealand has wintry blast coming later on tomorrow and Friday, which is stealing the weather news for today. And the cold blast will bring snow to the ranges, heavy west coast rain, and snow to low levels in Southland and Otago, and maybe even on Dunedin's hilltop suburbs early Friday morning and into Queenstown also. And it's kind of a short-lived one, but it's going to bring cooler air to the North Island as well, and Australia gets it first before it comes over here, like today and tomorrow. And Lola is kind of going to fall apart, they expect, over the next couple of days, but it's going to merge with a small weak low near Brizzo to form a large Tasman Sea low by Sunday. And this isn't exactly a storm, but combined with powerful high pressure east of New Zealand, it will likely encourage some heavy rain and windy subtropical nor'easters for Northern Northern Ireland, Northern New Zealand from this Sunday to next Tuesday. Well, South Island has risk of frost in some spots, followed by this wintry sort of blast that's coming through. So yeah, it's going to affect a few crops that went in, no doubt, over the weekend just gone. What other headlines going to bring you today? Well, I'll bring you what's going to happen around the regions, shall I? And to the east of there's a front passing over the North Island, which has been and gone, I think. It was pretty windy and wet, wasn't it, overnight? Pretty stormy, and then this morning as well, quite a lot of rain. But that's gone over here now, and it's heading over to the east. And there's sunny spells now, yes. It's a little bit cloudy, a little bit windy, but nice sunny and warm out there at the moment. So it's going to be scattered rain or spits that's going to follow basically after the front, which has passed here in Whangaroa anyway. And the South Island's going to have some sunny weather in the east and very nice conditions with afternoon temperatures into the early 20s. From this evening, heavy rain moves into the southwestland as the new front pushes in from the Tassie. And overnight rain spills out into Southland and central Otago. So, yeah, there's a bit happening. Spring, isn't it? For sure. And what can we expect around here in beautiful Whangaroa? Well, blowy today. Yeah, it's pretty blowy. Not as blowy as it has been. 18-degree high. Same with tomorrow. Friday, 15-degree high. Then Saturday, 17. Then 18, 17. Sunday, Monday. Then up to into the early 20s on Tuesday. Interesting, okay. So, yeah, windy today, but cloudy. The front's passed, so it's going to be mostly sunny from now with a few clouds. Tomorrow you can expect some showers, and Friday with some sunny spells. Saturday, Sunday, the weekend is going to be mostly kind of cloudy with a few sunny spells. And Monday, Tuesday is going to be quite rainy, and then goes back to sort of sunny spells and showers from Wednesday on. So yeah, classic spring. Nighttime temperatures are going to be 14 tonight, 13 tomorrow, then Friday, Saturday dipping down to like 9 and 8, and then 11 Sunday, and then kind of 14, 15 for the rest of the week, nighttime temperatures, that is. And the winds today, about 32 k's westerly. They're going to be nor'westerly tomorrow, about the same speed. South-southwesterly, about the same again. Then the winds are going to chill out a bit when it swings around to the south-south-east on Saturday. Then it's going to go easterly Sunday, Monday. Then east-nor'easterly Tuesday, then nor'-nor'westerly Wednesday. So you can expect rain, pretty much, not heaps of it, but a bit of rain here and there every day except for kind of Sunday. So, yeah, there might be about 26 mils, I think they're saying here, for Friday. No, that can't be right. It must be 2.6, is it? Yeah, 2.6, I think it is. So, yeah, nothing probably Monday. Next Monday, they're expecting the most rain to fall. And the humidity today is 88%. Yes, indeed, 88%. And the sun rose this morning at 6:24 and will set at 7:47. The length of visible light is 14 hours and 18 minutes. The actual day length is 13 hours and 23 minutes. And tomorrow will be 2 minutes and 17 seconds longer than it is today. And the beautiful moon, folks, is a waxing gibbous moon, 82% illuminated. And the moon will rise 3:29 this afternoon. It will set at 4:23 in the morning. So there we go. There's some weather for you. Now I'm going to play for you a song by Fabulous Arabia called Up to My Neck in It.
It was your omission. No one else can make it.
Folks, it was Fabulous Arabia there with Up to My Neck in It. And I'll go through some the stuff that's on today here in Whangaroa, since Aaron's was away this morning. And right now up the community house is Koha Kai, which is basically a free feed for anyone who wants it. You're welcome to drop a kohar off there if you can. You can go up there a bit earlier too, probably a bit late now, but you can go up and help prepare it from like 10 to 12, and that'll run from like 12 to 2 o'clock, so you still got time to go up there and have a feed, Denise 20 men, and then put on doing a good thing up there. And then from 1 o'clock also at the regular community house, there are justices of the peace going to be there in the house, I think it's for a couple of hours, I think, so don't need to book, just got to go in there and queue up. And from 3 o'clock, the Karioi Rangers are happening. From 3 o'clock, that's an after-school thing for the kids, I guess. And then there's a Freedom to Fly classes at St. Peter's Church Hall from 3:30. And then Raglan Theatre Academy, also from 3:30 in the Town Hall. And then the Ragtimers Ukulele Group at the Old School Arts Centre from 4 o'clock. And then Kids Karate Kyokushin at the Kokiri Centre from 4:30 as well. And there's Close Head Members Night at the Old School from 5 o'clock. Down at the Harview Hotel is pizza special, $20, 5 till 8, happening tonight. It's also Musicians Night at the Yard, happening at the Yard, of course, and that's from 6:30. I think there's local musos go down there and play and stuff like that. All right, so there's a few of the today things, and of course you can find out from Regular Community Radio's What's On God, comprehensive What's On God at regularradio.com is always a good place to check out what's going on in and around town. Okay, so I'll come back with some other stuff that's coming up after this one by Tokyo Police Club called Tessellate.
On that day, we're no tough bunch, but they had the nerve to go and say, that all your secrets were drowned with the pioneers who were flooded from the water gates. 'Cause dire times call for dire faces. So lovely dancer, call a dancer straight out places. In the night we're running barefoot, you and I. Dead lovers salivate, broken hearts tessellate tonight. Kids who cut their knees on that old schoolyard fence were holding out for posterity and self-defense. But we beat them down again. There's no fun playing cowboys for pretend. Times call for dire faces. So lovely dancer, call a dancer, sit our places. In the night we're running barefoot, you and I. Dead lovers salivate, broken hearts tessellate tonight.
All right, folks, that was the Tokyo Police Club there with Tessellate. Hope you enjoyed that. And now we're going to have a little look at what's coming up in the next couple of weeks in Whangaroa here. And I did forget to mention just before as well, the Aroha stands, as always, sitting outside the Whangaroa Environment Centre there next door. Jasmine's in there at the moment working hard. And the Tool Library, of course, is open in there as well. So, but, yes, this coming Saturday is Grow Kumara Together at the Wenera Street Community Gardens, and that's from 3 to 4:30. And so you just got to turn up down there, I guess, with some some tools. And if you want to learn more about that, go to whanganui.org.nz/community garden for that one. Let's grow Kumaru together Saturday, the 28th of Saturday. And next Tuesday is seed sorting next door there at the Whanganui Arrivement Centre, and that's from 3 to 4.30. And also the Raglan Horticultural Society is having their flower and vegetable show in the Town Hall on the 4th of November, Raglan Town Hall right here. Entries are accepted from 9 till 10.30, judging from 10.30 to 11.30. And it's going to be open for viewing for koha from about 12.30. And there's going to be sales on the tables as well. Prize giving is going to be 2 o'clock. And entries can be picked up after that from about 2.30. And all categories are free to enter. Some of the categories include like roses, sweet peas and other flowers, vegetables, floral art, stuff for the kids to do. So, yes, there we are. That's going to be the Flower and Vegetable Show put on by the Raglan Horticultural Society on Saturday the 4th of November. And also happening on Saturday the 4th of November is, of course, the Hauora Hikoi, which is happening from midday. We're going to leave from the school and go around the three bridges, and it's just going to be a walk around the three bridges, basically in for sort of suicide awareness and mental health. So wear either orange and green, you're encouraged to anyway, and have a wander around. There's going to be a few things going on around the walk, and then following that is going to be Rob Mokoraka, who we spoke to last week on the show, and he's going to be doing a presentation at the school called Shotbro, his Shotbro show, well, kind of a show, a stage sort of performance thing from the school from around about 2 o'clock. So that's all happening on the 4th of November. So a couple of Saturdays away. So, yeah, book that one in. So, yeah, Hikoi for Hauora from 12 noon, leaving from the school, and then the Shopro show on after that at the area school hall from 2 o'clock. And I think that'll do it for that. And I'll come back with some gardening to-dos after this one. Folks, just having some technical problems in the studio. But here we go. I'm going to try this one now while I get something else organised. So I'll play another song and I'll come back with some gardening throughs anyways after this one. I don't even know how it's going to be. So here we go. Been we there with Restless, and I'm going to play for you. I'm going to do some gardening to do's for you now here on the show, the Over the Fence Show, and it's going to be What You Can Do Right Now by the Moon, first quarter phase, of course, which started on a Sunday. You can plant your tomatoes and beans into enriched soil and stake them at the time of planting, and the companion plants of marigolds and basil can go in now too. Also a good time to plant zucchini and a cucumber. So these are things, some of the things you can do by the moon. And from Sunday, as we enter the full moon stage, it's an extra time to chit kumara and plant new season potatoes in the trenches. So that's from Sunday into like next Wednesday. And a few things you can plant this week. And there are many. So here they are. Alyssum, apricot, asparagus, basil, beans, beetroot, blackberries, blueberries, bok choy, broccoli, cabbage, calendula, capsicum, carrots, cauliflower, celery, chilies, chrysanthemum, coriander, cosmos, courgettes, cucumber, dahlia, daisy, dianthus, eggplants, feijoas, fuchsia, gerbera, gladiolus, sympatiens, kumara, lavender, leeks, lemons, lettuce, lily, limes, mandarins, marigolds, mesquite, oranges, pansy, viola, parsley, parsnip, passion fruit, petunia, poppy, potatoes, pumpkin squash, radish, raspberries, rhubarb, rocket rose, silver beet, snapdragon, spinach, spring onions, strawberries, sweet pea, sweet corn, tomatoes, and watermelon. There's a few other things you can do in the garden. Yeah, a few days like this before the full moon phase is an excellent time to go be planting stuff. So since YouTube sort of crashed, lucky I brought a CD in today, ain't it, folks? I'm going to play a song, and I'll come back with the Rural Health Strategy 2003. After this one, I can't even remember who it's going to be, but here we go.
Wake up, crowded in the street. First stop, overflow with people. Let's see the buses coming fit to burst. But Lord, you can't stop the industry. It's a song.
There with Sword and Dagger. I hope you enjoyed that. And We're going to have a look now at the Rural Health Strategy 2003, which came out in July, 3 months ago, and I'll give you a bit of the executive summary of it. And the purpose of the Rural Health Strategy is to set the direction for improving the health of rural communities over the next 10 years. Rural life is varied and changing, and the health of rural populations is strongly linked to rural economies, the environment, infrastructure, and community connectedness. And rural communities are resourceful. Community organisations, iwi and hapu, play an important role in promoting health in their communities and supporting rural people through challenging times. It goes on to say, rural communities have too often been overlooked in health system planning, delivery and monitoring. And rural people can face significant challenges in accessing healthcare and experience worse overall health outcomes compared to urban populations. And one of five New Zealanders and one of four Māori live in rural areas. And it's critical that we address these challenges if we're going to achieve a pai ora, which is healthy futures for New Zealanders. And the vision of this is for people living in rural communities to live long and healthy lives, supported by a health system that meets the varied needs of these communities and draws on the strengths and knowledge of rural communities to achieve pai ora. And it says this vision will require us to work collaboratively with communities and our system serves. Also, iwi, hapu and Māori communities exercising tino rangatiratanga in the design and delivery of rural health services. And they identified five priorities which will give effect to this vision over the next decade. And the five priorities are considering rural communities as a priority group. Yes, health policies and planning are designed to meet the specific needs of rural communities rather than expecting rural communities to fit into funding approaches and ways of offering care in urban settings. That's one of them, considering rural communities as a priority group. The second one is prevention, paving the path to a healthier future. Rural communities have building blocks in place to support healthier futures, jobs, pay, housing, digital connectivity and resilience to climate change. Preventative health interventions such as screening and promoting and protecting people's health and well-being are key areas of focus. So, yeah. Number two, prevention. Yeah, a lot of nice things said there, aren't there? Third one, services are available closer to home for rural communities, and a wider range of service options are available in the home or in the community, including from outreach options like mobile outpatients clinics and digital solutions. Okay. So that's number three, services available closer to home for rural communities. And the fourth main one is rural communities are supported to access services at a distance. Where it's not possible to access health services locally, coordinated support is available to help rural people travel or use digital technology to receive care. I mean, this one and the last one, they're talking a lot about, you know, using digital services here and there and things like that, but the reality is that there's still a lot of rural communities in Aotearoa that just don't have, internet. Still, like, dial-up speed in some places I've been to, and that's just in the last couple of years. So, that's going to take a lot of work to try and get these sort of things done. And the fifth one, anyway, is a valued and flexible workforce. And the rural health workforce is developed and supported to deliver care that rural communities need, including through kaupapa Māori approaches and extended healthcare roles and rural specializations. So those are the five key things there, and the bit of the executive summary. And I'll come back with a bit with a bit more details on those after this one. And yet again, I don't know what it's going to be, so let's pick a song for you.
Talking, baby, I'm a bad talker, man.
All right, that's enough of that, folks. Let's get back into the Rural Health Strategy 2003 report here. And the five priority areas, here's some focus areas in those. And we have number one, considering rural communities as a priority group within that. There's going to be things like health system adopt approaches that work for rural communities, with the voice of rural communities in the centre of that, and tino rangatiratanga for rural Māori, and reassessing current system settings to address rural health needs. And the second one, prevention, paving the path to a healthier future. A couple of points in there. The focus areas are a population health approach that protects and promotes health and delays ill health is adopted, and public health programs are available and are fit for purpose. And the third one, services available closer for home in rural communities. We've got broader and integrated health options are supported in the community, and better use of digital, mobile and outreach services. And, yeah, as I said earlier, the digital coverage is pretty poor through a lot of rural areas. And the fourth one, rural communities are supported to access services at a distance. Support to access care can include digital support, yet again, and to reduce the travel, And also proactively assess access needs for people needing treatment for or with long-term conditions. And the last priority area is a valued and flexible rural health workforce, expanding rural training pathways. Better recognition of broader roles within the rural health workforce, training for broader and more flexible roles and well-being of rural health workforces. So, okay, there's a few things there. Yeah, a lot of it's pretty sort of, I mean, it's great it's being considered and everything like that, but, yeah, it's pretty sort of wafty, a lot of it, isn't it, folks? But I don't know, we'll see what happens with it. Now, I just want to add this too. This is in the executive summary. Says, this strategy does not commit to specific actions, but sets a long-term direction for improving rural health in these priority areas. So here we go. This strategy does not commit to any sort of action. So, yeah, basically just a report, which I guess is progress. Will this government do anything to change it or move on with it? Well, time will tell, I guess, folks. Time will tell. But anyway, I think that'll do me for today. I hope you enjoyed the show. And I'll be back again, well, maybe not next week, but maybe the week after. And we'll see how it goes. And take care of there, folks. Yeah, it's going to be a classic, another spring week. Bit of rain, bit of sun, bit of this, bit of that. But, yeah, enjoy it all the same, folks. And ka kite, take care.